السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا، أحسن الله إليكم.
آمين وإياكم. How are we going?
نعم يا شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. ما يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد, today بإذن الله our intention is to talk about the Hajj itself. In our previous class yesterday, we had mentioned Hajj Tamattu. We described a part of Hajj Tamattu. We said Hajj Tamattu is when the individual combines between Umrah and Hajj. The individual will make Umrah in the months of Hajj, that is Shawwal, Dhul-Qa'dah, and in Dhul-Hijjah. If you make Umrah in any of these periods from the months of Hajj, and you intend to combine that Umrah to Hajj, after the Umrah, you go out of Ihram, and you wait until the 8th day of Dhul-Hijjah, Yawm al-Tarwiyah, to start the Hajj. We said a lot about all these in the previous classes. Today, inshallah, we hope to describe the Hajj itself. What you start between Yawm al-Tarwiyah, the 8th day of Hijjah, and you end it on Yawm al-Nafr al-Awwal or Yawm al-Nafr al-Thani. You end it on the first day of departure, making your Hajj 5 days, or on Yawm al-Nafr al-Thani, the second day of departure, such that your Hajj is performed within 6 days. So the first day of Hajj itself as a worship is Yawm al-Tarwiyah. Yawm al-Tarwiyah happens to be the 8th day of Dhul-Hijjah. Yawm al-Tarwiyah is the 8th day of Dhul-Hijjah, when the pilgrim is expected to be in Hajj, maybe in a hotel, maybe in a lodge or something. On that day, Yawm al-Tarwiyah, the pilgrim goes into Ihram. On Yawm al-Tarwiyah, you go back to Ihram. How do you go back to Ihram? You have your ghusl. The way we make our ghusl when we have janaba, or when a woman has her ghusl away from getting pure from menstruation. That is, you intend to get pure, you make wudu upon the sunnah. You can wash your feet when you make that wudu, and you can postpone washing the feet when you make that wudu until the end of the ghusl. So you make wudu, you wash the private areas, especially for women who are menstruating, because this wudu, or because this ghusl, ghuslul ihram, is also due upon women who are menstruating, or women who have istihaba, or women who have nifas. So you clean the private areas, and then you make wudu upon the sunnah, and then you start with the head. You wash the head, you wash down the body, the right sides of the body as you come down, and then the left sides of the body as you come down, and then up to your feet. You can wash the feet when you make the wudu. You can also postpone washing the feet until after the pouring of water on the entire body of itself. if a person only cleans the private areas and pours water on the entirety of the body, making sure what the water goes around the body, soaks the head and the rest of the body, that also suffices as long as you have the intention of ghusl. So you make ghusl on this day of Tarwiyah after Salatul Fajri. You make the ghusl. You also make aduhun. You rub the pomade, you rub oils on your body, and then you make at-tatayyub. At-tatayyub is to rub perfume on the body. Then you wear the ihram clothes. The perfuming is on the body itself. It should not be on the clothes, as we had explained. Then you make your at-talbiyah. This time, when you started the umrah at the miqat, you said, labbaik Allahumma umratan. But when you want to come into ihram on yawm al-tarwiyah, what you say is that, labbaik Allahumma hajjan. Labbaik Allahumma hajjan. Meaning that, I have answered your call, O Allah, hajjan. That answering of the call is to perform hajj. So you have now come into ihram. When you come into ihram, don't forget, just as you put it to mind, when you came to ihram during the umrah, when a person comes into ihram, and that is what it means linguistically, if you come into ihram, you have made some things that were permissible to become impermissible. So when you are in ihram, some things that were permissible become impermissible. And those things that were ordinarily impermissible, their impermissibility becomes more intense. From the things that was permissible that becomes impermissible when you are in ihram is al-jima' ma'al ahl, is having intercourse with your family. It becomes prohibited when you come into ihram. A male cannot have intercourse with his wife, and the wife must not have intercourse with her husband. That's what Allah mentioned, that فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجَّ فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. So three things have been mentioned in this verse. The first one is الرَّفَث. الرَّفَث is الْجِمَاعِ. Al-jima' wa muqaddimatuhu, that is intercourse and the things that precede intercourse, such as speaking sweet, nice words to your wife or to your husband, they become impermissible. Likewise, al-fisq, sinfulness becomes impermissible. Count it as the second thing. The first thing that becomes impermissible when you come into ihram is al-jima'. The second thing that becomes impermissible when you come into ihram is what? Al-fisq. Fisq is every kind of sinfulness. Every kind of sinfulness. Every kind of sinfulness becomes more prohibited when you are in the condition of ihram. Every kind of disobedience to Allah becomes more prohibited when you are in ihram. The third thing you must note when you come into ihram is wala jidal, like Allah said, there are no arguments. Don't go into an argument so much that you get your brother angry. Don't go into arguments when you are in ihram so much that your brother or your sister, if you are a woman, don't become angry as a result of an argument, and don't go into an argument that leads into anger. The fourth thing that becomes prohibited in ihram is halku sha'ri ras. Don't also shave the head. Shaving the head or cutting the head low becomes prohibited when you are in the condition of ihram. We remember that Allah said, wala tahliku ru'usakum hatta yabluga al-hadyu mahilla. Don't shave your heads when you are in the condition of ihram. The fifth thing that becomes prohibited when you're in ihram is taqlimul azafir, cutting your fingernails. Cutting your fingernails, this is prohibited when you are in the condition of ihram. How many things have we counted? I think about five. Al-jima, wal-fisk, wal-jidal, halku, al-sha'ar, taqlimul azafir. From the things that is also prohibited, ticket number six is al-khitbatu wa aqdu zawaj. Khitba is prohibited. Don't make marriage proposal when you're in ihram. Don't also receive a proposal when you're in ihram. Likewise, marriage cannot be organized when you're in ihram. These things have happened before. 1 year we were in Mina and a brother, an elderly man, he wasn't at that time less than 50. He came to me and said he saw a woman that he liked. He went to her and asked her for marriage. This kind of a thing is prohibited when you were in ihram. Brothers, when you make ihram on Yawm al-Tarwiyah, don't be carried away. If you find any woman you desire to marry, be sure that that happens after your hajj, after you get out of ihram. Don't make marriage proposal when you're in ihram. Women, don't also receive marriage proposals when you are in ihram, because the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, la yankihu al-muhrimu, the one in the state of ihram must not marry. Wala yunkahu, marriage should not be given to him. So he can't marry as a man, and as a woman she can't marry. Wala yakhtubu, similarly he must not make a marriage proposal. That hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. And if a marriage happens like that, the marriage must be separated. It's an invalid marriage when you are in the condition of ihram. The seventh thing we like to mention is at-tatayyub, making perfume, wearing perfume when you are in ihram. It becomes prohibited. It is from the sunnah before you start the ihram. And you don't put it on your clothes, you put it on your body itself. But when you now come into ihram, both the body and the clothes, you must not wear perfume. So it is prohibited to wear perfume. The Prophet prohibited it. Alayhi salatu wasalam. The eighth thing that is prohibited when the individual is in ihram is for the men to cover their heads. Taghtiyah turrasi. Covering the head is prohibited when you are in ihram. Covering the head is prohibited when you are in ihram. The ninth thing I like to mention that is also prohibited when you are in ihram is you cannot wear a cloth that is in the shape of the limbs, like shirts that have limbs, that have sleeves. You can't wear a shirt that has sleeves or a trouser that has places where you can put your feet, as we have our trousers. All these kinds of clothing are wrong and prohibited for a man. So these are the things that are prohibited when in ihram. The tenth thing we can mention is prohibited when in the condition of ihram is that women should not place the niqab, their face veil, to stick to their face. The face veil should not be placed to stick to the face of a woman. What she is permitted to do is al-isdal. Al-isdal is dropping the niqab from over the head. So you can hang it over the head and drop it down when you are in the midst of men. But when you go away from men, you raise it up again. When you are in the midst of men, you drop it. This is the way a woman would handle her niqab. But to place it and stick it to the face as a woman balls in day-to-day life, this is prohibited. I think that was the 10th thing. The 11th thing I would like to mention that is prohibited during ihram is at-ta'arrud li sayd al-bari, going to chase animals on the land for the purposes of hunting. It is prohibited for us to hunt when we are in the condition of ihram. In those days, they used to trek perhaps from Mecca to Medina and from Medina to Mecca. And within the Mashair, the locations where Hajj is made, like Muzdalifah, like Arafah, and these other places, people may find animals they want to hunt in those days. It can still happen till today. You must not hunt as a pilgrim in the condition of ihram. Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la taqtulu as-sayda wa antum hurum. O you who believe, don't go on hunting, killing any hunting animals, wa antum hurum, in the condition that you are in ihram. Don't go out seeking to hunt. So on Yawm al-Tarwiyah, this is the job we have. On the 8th day of Dhul-Hijjah, we get back into ihram after ghusl, after rubbing pomade and rubbing perfumes on our body. We wear our ihram clothes and then we say, Labbaik Allahumma hajjan, Labbaik Allahumma hajjan. And then we proceed in the morning before the time of Zuhur, Qabla Zawal. We have a long time to move between Mecca and Mina. We shall be moving to Mina on Yawm al-Tarwiyah, the 8th day of Dhul-Hijjah. You have a long time from after Fajr, from sunrise up to Ma Qabla Zawal, up to whatever you have before the time when the sun goes away from the horizon, which is the time for Salat Dhuhr. So at Mina, before we move, as we start, don't forget, as you start your talbiyah saying that Labbaik Allahumma hajjan, you begin to say Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, Labbaik la sharika lak, Labbaik innal hamda wal ni'mata lak wal mulk la sharika lak. You begin to say your talbiyah and raise your voice when you say the talbiyah. From the sunnah of the talbiyah is you say it raising your voice. You raise your voice with the talbiyah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told us that Allah sent an angel to him, an ya'mura ashabahu an yarfa'u aswatahum bitalbiyah. The angel came to tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell his companions, أَنْ يَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَهُمْ بِالتَّلْبِيَةِ, that they should raise their voice saying the talbiyah. So everybody should be saying لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ while raising the voices. The Prophet also said عليه الصلاة والسلام that مَا مِنْ مُلَبِّنْ يُلَبِّي, there is no one from amongst the people who makes talbiyah إِلَّا لَبَّ مَا عَنْ يَمِينِهِ وَعَنْ شِمَالِهِ مِنْ شَجَرٍ وَحَجَرٍ حَتَّى تَنْقَطِعَ الْأَرْضُ مِنْ هُنَا وَهُنَا. The Prophet said عليه الصلاة والسلام, there is no one who makes a talbiyah إِلَّا لَبَّ مَا عَنْ يَمِينِهِ, except that everything on his right will make the talbiyah together with him. And shimalihi, likewise, everything on his left, whether that thing is a stone, wahajarin, or shajarin, maybe a wood or a stone, hatta tanqati al ardu min huna wa huna, until the earth gets cut off, whether from the right side or from the left side, whatever, everything on your right side, everything on your left side begins to say the talbiyah together with you. That hadith occurs in Sunan al-Bayhaqi. So we are all encouraged to raise our voices while saying the talbiyah. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika lak, labbaik innal hamd wal ni'mat laka wal mulk la sharika lak. We go on doing that in the morning, from the time after sunrise up to the time before Salatul Zuhr. So as we say that, we'll be moving to Mina. As we say that, we'll be moving to Mina. At Mina, and you have tents at Mina, you have rugs, you have pillows where you can find some rest. But at Mina, we are going to observe Salatul Zuhr. We are going to observe Salatul Asri, Salatul Maghrib, Salatul Isha, and Salatul Fajr of the next day. All of them, we'll be observing them Qasran. We'll be observing them in Qasr. Salatul Zuhur in Qasr. Salatul Asri in Qasr. Two rak'ats. Salatul Maghrib, 3 units as it is observed. And Salatul Isha, 2 units. Salatul Fajr, 2 units. We'll observe all the salawat in Qasr and at their various times. At the time of Zuhur, we observe Zuhur, 2 rak'ats. At the time of Asr, we observe Asr, 2 rak'ats. These are the activities for Mina while we still get busy with saying Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik and so on. You find that at Mina, many of the people get busy with talks, with discussions, with going to look for friends, with going to look for family members, and then people begin to talk, hey, you also come for Hajj, and then on. They forget the Talbiyah. For the sake of Allah, don't get busy with something that's not important, dropping something that is so significant. We all should get busy with the Talbiyah on Yawm al-Tarwiyah, raising our voices and saying, Labbaik Allahumma, Labbaik la sharika lak, Labbaik innal hamd wa ni'mata, Laka wal mulk la sharika lak. We all should get busy with this, each of us. Get busy with things like this, saying La ilaha illallah and so on, saying other adhkars at various times. So these are the activities for the 8th day of Dhul-Hijjah that is called Yawm al-Tarwiyah. Before we go on to the 9th day, Yawm al-Arafah, why was this day, the 8th day of Dhul-Hijjah, when Hajj starts, when the pilgrim moved to Mina, why was it called Yawm al-Tarwiyah? The scholars say that it was called Yawm al-Tarwiyah because at Mina, in those days, there was no water. Today, we use water as we like in Mina. In the previous, earlier times, there was no water in Mina. And don't forget that the pilgrims will come from Arafah and Muzdalifah. They will spend about four days at Mina. They will spend Yawm al-Nahri and 3 more days at Mina. Where will they find water to eat, to prepare food, to drink, to make wudu, to make ghusl if they have a need? Where will they find the water when there was no water in those days? So on Yawm al-Tarwiyah, people would be fetching water all the way from Makkah to Mina. People fetch water from Makkah to where? To Mina. To preserve it for those days, they are coming to stay in Mina. That was why that day is called Yawm al-Tarwiyah, the day when they used to fetch water from Makkah to Mina. Imagine how stressful that will be. We have water available now, but our consciousness about the worship is low. May Allah protect us and make things easy for us. So this is what we do on Yawm al-Tarwiyah, the 8th day of Dhul-Hijjah. That will take us up to Salatul Fajri on Yawm al-Arafah, the 9th day of Dhul-Hijjah. We'll be in Mina on Yawm al-Tarwiyah. We observe Salatul Zuhur, we observe Salatul Asri, we observe Salatul Maghrib, Salatul Isha, and Salatul Fajri of Yawm al-Arafah. That is the 9th day of Dhul-Hijjah. On the 9th day of Dhul-Hijjah, we are in Arafah. We leave Mina after Salatul Fajr when the sun fully rises. We begin to leave for Arafah. We leave for Arafah from Mina. We leave for Arafah from Mina. One of the scholars was asked a question. If a person was not at Mina, what should he do? For whatever reason. And I have seen this before. Last year, one of the brothers had flight delays. He only arrived Makkah in the night of Yawm al-Tarwiyah, in the middle of the night. So what he did, he just quickly went to make his tawaf, because he also intended to make Hajj al-Tamattu. So instead of coming to meet us at Mina, it was too late for him to come to Mina. He came straight to Arafah. The scholars say if this happens to an individual, the person, for whatever reasons, it could even be for medical reasons, that still on the 8th day of Dhul-Hijjah, perhaps the person fell ill. May Allah protect all of us. He's just able to stand up on the day of Arafah. He can proceed to Arafah. Then they say, وَلَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ. He has nothing to do for that. He has no slaughtering to make, and his Hajj is still complete, inshallah. His rewards will not be like the rewards of those who were at Mina, but he has no blame on him. He has no animal to slaughter or any kind of atonement on him if a person happens to miss Yawm al-Tarwiyah at Mina, but he comes for the Arafah at Arafah. May Allah accept our acts of worship. Don't forget, the more you do, the more you get. The more you do, the more you get. The more you do, the more perfect your Hajj becomes. The less you do, the less you get. The less you do, the less your Hajj becomes perfect. So, fastabiqul khairat. Let us all struggle to do it as best as we can, and as much as the Prophet did it, alayhi salatu wasalam. So in the morning after sunrise, we leave Mina while still making the tarbiyah. Labbaik Allahum, labbaik la sharika lak, labbaik innal hamda wa ni'mata, laka wal mulk la sharika lak. We go on saying the tarbiyah until we get to Arafah. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wassalam, that al-Arafah kulluha mawqif. Arafah, everywhere you stay, as long as it is Arafah, it is part of the place that is legislated for us to stay. There are two places in Arafah people stay in the morning. People stay in two places in the morning. Most of us at home, we usually think that place is part of Arafah, but it is not. That masjid you are seeing, you always see in the videos, it is called Masjidu Namira. That masjid is not part of Arafah. That masjid is not part of Arafah. Now, after you leave that masjid, moving towards Arafah itself, there is a place called Batnul Wadi or Wadi Urana. The name of the Wadi itself is Wadi Urana. Al-Sahih, the Wadi Urana itself is not part of Arafah. Fortunately, it was at Wadi Urana that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave that khutbah that he gave. He gave the khutbah at that valley, and then he moves into Arafah itself. Don't forget, he gave the khutbah at Wadi Urana, although people always say that was the khutbah of the Prophet at Arafah, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's last khutbah. All these are lies and incorrect regarding that khutbah. That khutbah itself took place at Wadi Urana. It was a valley called the Valley of Urana, nearby the Masjidu Namira. He gave that khutbah there, and it was not his last khutbah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So at Arafah, we remain at Arafah. And at the time of Zuhur, we observe Salatul Zuhur. We observe Salatul Zuhur, Salatul Asri, Qasran wa Jam'ah. We observe Salatul Zuhur and Salatul Asri, Qasran. We observe them in two units. We observe Salatul Zuhur, two units. We observe Salatul Asri, two units. We observe them together immediately after Zuhur with one adhan and two iqamah. So we make the adhan once for the two prayers, but we make the two iqamahs separate for each of the prayers. So we make one adhan, then we make Salatul Zuhur, then we make the iqamah, and then we start Salatul Asri. The two salat will also be observed at the time of Salatul Zuhur. At Mina, we observe each of the salah at each of their times. But at Arafah, we shall be observing Salatul Zuhur and Asr at the time of Salatul Zuhur with one adhan and two iqama. Thereafter, we sit down. If we have a group head that is learned, they give us a very, very, very brief khutbah. They talk to us. And then everybody sits down. And the job at Arafah is to make talbiyah, make adhkar, and make dua. The job at Arafah is a lot of dua. The Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he said, afdalu dua, dua u Arafah. Afdalu dua, the best of dua, afdalu dua. Dua u'arafa, the best of the dua you will make. In another expression in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, khayru dua, the best of supplications are those you make at Arafah. Wallahi, wallahi, this is the case. If you come to Arafah and you sincerely make the dua, and you don't do the things that destroy the dua, your dua will be accepted. Because some of the people make dua, they even make expressions of shirk. They make dua asking for something that is prohibited and the like of that. People make dua for something that is prohibited. So let us avoid things like this. So afdalu dua, the best of supplications, is the one you make at Arafah, on the day of Arafah. May Allah make this easy for us. So at Arafah, you observe Salatul Zuhur and Asr at the time of Salatul Zuhur. You sit down, you face the Qibla, you raise up your hands in dua, you make dua, you make zikr. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, afdalu ma qultu ana wa nabiyuna ashiyat Arafah. The best of what I would say and the prophets before me would say in the day of Arafah, in the afternoon of Arafah, is to say, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulku wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. La ilaha illallah. This is a great day before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because one of the blessings of Yawm Arafah is that was the day Allah perfected the religion upon mankind. The day that Allah announced that this your deen, Islam, is perfect. And I am pleased with it for you as a way of life unto the day of Qiyamah as human beings. It happened on the day of Arafah, at Arafah. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam observed Arafah on the day of Jumu'ah, as it's in that hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab and Abdullah ibn Abbas. For that, the Jews used to be jealous of the Muslims, because Allah said to them that Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-Islam adina. This verse was revealed at Arafah on the day of Jumu'ah, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the Hajj. There is a major benefit again on the day of Arafah to make us understand that it's a day that is so great and important before Allah, and we have a job to seek the blessings that is contained in that day. The day of Arafah is Yawmul Mashhud, اليوم المشهود يوم عرفة. The day that is witnessed is the day of Arafah. اليوم المشهود يوم عرفة. The Prophet said so. عليه الصلاة والسلام. You know in Surah Al-Buruj, Allah said, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ. When Allah swears with something, it shows that that thing is very, very significant. Allah said, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ. I swear with the heavens. ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ. The heavens that have huge, huge, huge structures. Those huge structures are better known to us today. The huge stars, the galaxies, and all others, they are called buruj, huge in the sky. Allah says, I swear with the heavens that bear al-buruj. He also said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ. الْيَوْمُ الْمَوْعُودِ. That is the day that has been promised. The day that has been promised. Which day is the day that has been promised? يوم القيامة. You know, Allah spoke a lot about that. That day of Qiyamah is a promise. He says, وَعْدًا عَلَيْنَا. It's a promise on us. إِنَّا كُنَّا فَعِلِينَ. We shall do it. We shall bring you back on the day of Qiyamah. So يوم الموعود, the day that has been promised, is what? يوم القيامة. So in Al-Buruj, it says, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ. واليوم الموعود وشاهد. As for a shahid, the Prophet said عليه الصلاة والسلام وشاهد يوم الجمعة. A shahid, the day of the day we go we witness the day that is itself a witness of other people. The ulama say what that means is the day we all gather together, يوم الجمعة. That is the day of Jum'ah. That is a shahid. Then Allah says, wa mashhud. Wa shahidin wa mashhud. Allah also swore it, al-mashhud. The day that you are the one who go to witness the day. Just like we go to Arafah, to make Arafah, to gather at Arafah. So Arafah is what? Yawmu, al-yawmu al-mashhud. Al-yawmu al-mashhud is what? Yawmu Arafah. And it shows that it is significant because of what? Allah's swearing and swearing, making that swearing with Yawm al-Mashhud. And Yawm al-Mashhud is Yawm Arafah. So these are some of the blessings that we have on Yawm Arafah. It's also a day that Allah frees people from Jahannam. When we gather at Arafah, Allah shows us to the people of the heavens. Look at my servants, gathering for my sake, praying and asking me for their needs, and praising me, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is pleased with the people on the day of Arafah. The early Muslims used to consider it as a wretched person, the one who leaves Arafah and still think that he has a sin on his head. The scholars used to say, the wretched person, Yorubas will say, Olori Buruku, is the one who, when he leaves Arafah, he is still thinking that he has a sin on his head. In a hadith that Al-Imam Ibn al-Munzir, Al-Imam al-Munziri, the author of At-Targhib wa Tarhib, has mentioned in his book, At-Targhib wa Tarhib, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that Atani Jibreel wa alayhi salam anifa. The Prophet said to the people while they were at Arafah, and they left Arafah, he said, Atani Jibreel anifa. Jibreel just came to me a while ago. فَأَقْرَأَنِي مِنْ رَبِّي السَّلَامِ. And he conveyed his taslim to me from my Lord. Jibreel conveys taslim from my Lord to me. وَقَالَ. And then Jibreel said, عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ, إن الله عز وجل غفر لأهل عرفات. Allah has forgiven every person at Arafah, وأهل المشعر, and all those who are at المشعر. المشعر is المستلفة. وضمن عنهم التبعات. He also guarantees them what? At-tabi'at. He has forgiven them. He also guarantees them at-tabi'at. فَقَالَ عُمَرْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ Umar then asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulallah, هَذَا لَنَا خَاصَّ Is this for us alone? We, the companions alone. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wa sallam, هَذَا لَكُمْ وَلِمَنْ أَتَى بَعْدَكُمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ It is for you and for whosoever comes after you up till the day of Qiyamah. What is this? إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ غَفَرَ لِأَهْلِ عَرَفَاتِ وَأَهْلِ الْمَشْعَرِ Allah has already forgiven you. If you come to Arafah and you are sincere, you have ikhlas, don't forget. You come for the sake of Allah. You have ikhlas with you. And you came with money that is lawful. You came with lawful wealth. Your journey is clean and clear. You come to Arafah. Allah has guaranteed you forgiveness at Arafah. And it is not for the companions alone. It is for everybody. وَضَمِنَ عَنْهُمَ التَّبِعَاتِ He also guarantees you your tabi'at. So ulama say, what is at-tabi'at? At-tabi'at is those rights we have over us. You have a right regarding your mother. You have a right regarding your father. You have a right regarding your children. You have a right regarding your wives. All these people have rights over you, your brothers, your younger ones, your subordinates at work, your bosses at work. All of these are rights. But we know when we begin to investigate these rights one after the other, there is hardly anyone that will pass in all of them. You'll be having failures here and there. You are supposed to visit your mommy twice in the week. Or you were supposed to check her again, you couldn't. You were supposed to check your daddy. You were supposed to provide something for the women. Oh, the wife was supposed to obey her husband. Oh, one wife made a statement to her husband that, may Allah judge you, may Allah, you are unfair to me. A woman said all of these. And it is not in her place to say that. If you come to Arafah, all these your rights where you have failed. You tried your best, but you are failing. Allah will forgive you those rights. Allah will guarantees you. I will fulfill those rights for you. I will fulfill those rights. Though some of the scholars like Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, they say this does not include the rights of people regarding their wealth. If you have somebody's wealth with him, the way to have atonement for it is to go and return the wealth of the people. But I'm sure that it is clear. Other rights of visits, rights of things like this, or even the rights of time. Many of us, our children only have less time with us. Much of our times we spend it outside. So those people who have that right, those kinds of rights, Allah guarantees you forgiveness regarding them. But don't forget, if you have someone's money, someone's house, someone's car, his property, you must return those physical rights to them before atonement is given regarding them. So this is the day of Arafah. The day of Arafah is the day of forgiveness. For the sake of Allah, let us be sincere in our acts of worship, because Allah will not accept the worship that is not done sincerely for him. So we remain at Arafah up to Ghurub al-Shams, up to when the sun goes and sets, when the disk of the sun descends into the horizon. We will be at Arafah. And at that time, Dafa Rasulu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa afada, the Prophet and the companions, everybody began to move away from Arafah. So you will be in Arafah at Maghrib up to the time of Maghrib, but you will not observe Salatul Maghrib at Arafah. You will be making dua. Look at this. You have opportunity from the time of Salatul Dhuhr up to Ghurub al-Shams for dua alone, dua. If you like to make dua, come to Arafah. You sit down, you make dua. I'm sure the teachers who go with each of the groups will teach the people the manners, adab dua. The manners, how do you make dua in Islam? It has learning, it has manners, adab dua. If we have the time, I think it is something that we should do. People are just making dua, they don't know the lessons. How do you make dua? The manners of dua. There are manners in Islam regarding everything that we do. So if you want to make dua, how best do you make that dua so that you get the best result? What are the things you must not do in dua? We don't discuss things like this. People just go and start wasting and taking a lot of their time and energy and getting only little results. But there's a way to make the dua. You get a lot of results. You target the time. You target what to say. You target how to say it. We can only know all of these if we learn the adab of dua. So Arafah, from Zuhur up to Maghrib, up to Ghurub al-Shams, we'll be making dua, making dua, making adhkar. Unfortunately, I know some people, this is the time they move about looking for their friends, looking for their brothers and their relatives. The time they should sit down to make dua, they start moving all around. May Allah protect all of us. So we'll be at Arafah up to the time of Ghurub al-Shams. When the sun is set at the time of Maghrib, we shall leave Arafah. It's already time for Maghrib, but we will not observe Salatul Maghrib at Arafah. So we leave Arafah for Muzdalifah. And it is not appropriate to observe Salatul Maghrib at Arafah. Neither is it appropriate to observe Salatul Maghrib anywhere before you get to Muzdalifah. The place for Salatul Maghrib and Isha is where? Muzdalifah. Muzdalifah is also called Al-Jumrah. Now, before we come to the acts of worship at Muzdalifah, I think I had mentioned that we may be asked, come, what is the meaning of Arafah? The meaning of Arafah, one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, well-known, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abu al-Abbas, radiyallahu anhuma. He said, inna Ibrahim, lama arahu Jibreel al-Manasik. When Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to teach Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam about al-Manasik, the rites of Hajj, wantaha bi Arafah. And then they came to Arafah. Qala lahu, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said to Jibreel alayhi salam, araft, like saying, I have understood. I have now known it. Fasummiyat Arafah. And from that, the place became to be called what? Arafah. As if to say, he knew it. He has understood it. Because Ibrahim said, araft. So this is what has been reported by Abdullah ibn Abbas. And it occurs in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad. Al-Imam Al-Albani, rahimahullah, he grades it authentic. And others amongst the scholars. It also occurs in Akhbar Makkah by Al-Imam Al-Fakihi that Arafah took its name when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was shown the rites of Hajj by Jibreel. And then when they got to Arafah, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said to Jibreel, Arafat. And then the place began to be called Arafah. Like saying, he has understood. But he said, Arafat, I have understood. I have known it. So this was how that name was picked. There are other narrations, such as that it was at Arafah that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and our mother Hawa met on the earth, after they were asked to descend from the heavens. But all of these require authenticity. Most of them are wahiyat, narrations that lack establishment. So we leave Arafah after Salatul Maghrib for Muzdalifah. And the only place that is valid for us to observe Salatul Maghrib and Salatul Isha, as legislated by the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, is where? Muzdalifah. So at Muzdalifah, we observe Salatul Maghrib and Salatul Isha. one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Usama ibn Zayd, when they were moving between Arafah and Muzdalifah, Usama said, radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came down to quickly do something and go back to his right. When he was doing that, one of the companions, just as we are used to hear, he started saying, the Prophet, as-salah, salah, 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 was telling the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الصَّلَاةُ أَمَامَكَ الصَّلَاةُ أَمَامَكَ. You observe the salah in front of you, ahead. The salat is ahead. So salat after Arafah, if you leave Arafah, Salatul Maghrib is amamana, in front of us, ahead of us at Muzdalifah. So فَلَمَّا جَاءَ الْمُزْدَلِفَةِ نزل فتوضع فأصبغ الوضوء ثم أقيمت الصلاة فصلى المغرب ثم صلى العشاء. So when the Prophet came to Muzdalifa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فتوضع, he made the wudu, فأصبغ الوضوء, he properly made the wudu, ثم أقيمت الصلاة, the salah was announced to start. فَصَلَّ الْمَغْرِبِ, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam observed Maghrib. ثُمَّ صَلَّ الْعِشَى, after Salatul Maghrib, he observed Salatul Isha. So at Muzdalifah, we are going to make the Adhan. Make the Adhan, then you observe Salatul Maghrib, and then you combine it with Salatul Isha, with two different Iqama for each of the two. You observe Salatul Isha in course of 2 units of prayer. Before it, you make Salatul Maghrib in the regular 3 units. You make Iqama for each of them. You make an Adhan before you start Salatul Maghrib. And after Salatul Maghrib, there is no Nafila. Please note this, no Nafila at Muzdalifah. Just come, make the Adhan, make Iqama, make Maghrib, stand up, make Iqama again, and then you make what? Salatul Isha. The question that comes usually, if you are at Arafah and they'd observe Salatul Zuhur and Asr before you arrive, your group had finished Zuhur and Asr, what do you do? You are also going to observe your own Zuhur and your own Asr, and you also observe them Qasran into 2 units, Wajam'an, and you observe them together, just like the rest of the people observe. This was done by Abdullah ibn Umar and others amongst the early Muslims, like Atawi ibn Abi Rabah. They came to Arafah, the people had finished Zuhur and Asr. They observed their own, just in the way the rest of the people had observed theirs. The same thing at Muzdalifah. Because at Muzdalifah, some of the people will arrive early, some of the people will arrive very, very late in the night from Arafah for so many reasons. People arrive at different times. So if you arrive, you get to your group and you observe that they had already observed Maghrib and Isha, you make wudu, you properly make the wudu, then you make Salatul Maghrib, you also make Salatul Isha, and then you have your rest, no nawafil. Although some of the scholars say it is not wrong still if a person makes his witr in the night of Muzdalifah. But what Jabir ibn Abdullah said, radiallahu anhuma, was that there is no salah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only slept on that night. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only slept on that night till the next morning. But others amongst the ulama say, they say that the fact that Jabir said the Prophet slept does not mean that he did not wake up in the midnight to observe his Qiyamul Layl, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we wake up in the morning, at Muzdalifah, please let us note this, there is no tent, no mat, no rug, no pillow. It's an open desert ground. The only thing you find at Muzdalifah are places for ablution, water points for ablution and for qada'ul haja, easing ourselves, like using the toilet quickly and then urinating. This is what you find in Muzdalifah. You also don't find food, no restaurant, no kitchen, no hotel in Muzdalifah. So I usually advise pilgrims, when you are leaving Arafah, there are tents at Arafah. There are rugs at Arafah. There is a lot of convenience at Arafah. Take along some things like water to drink, because the water you find at Muzdalifah, they are usually not drinkable. Take some water to drink. Take some fruits along with you. If you can carry a small plate of food packaged, put it in your bag and carry it along at Muzdalifah. Also, try to have a praying mat with you. This is where the praying mats really become very useful. Where at Muzdalifah? May Allah make it easy for us. I remember one year when there was severe cold. It was so cold that night. As an individual, I thought that I was going to die that night at Muzdalifah. The cold was much and we were just in Ihram. Then something happened. May Allah reward the government of Saudi Arabia. They went on and they began to distribute bed sheets, very, very thick bed sheets. So we used it to cover ourselves from our neck to our feet. But you know, as a pilgrim, you must not cover your head because we are still in Ihram. But at least it relieved the cold. It was very, very cold that night at Muzdalifah in the open desert. May Allah reward the government of Saudi Arabia, as much as the pilgrims. Trucks loading blankets came and started to distribute blankets, throwing it to the people, and people got blankets to ease off the cold in the desert that night. So Muzdalifah is a bit exacting. So prepare for it. Get a lot of water, get some food, get a prayer mat, and when you leave Arafah, these things will be useful for you at Muzdalifah. So this is the ninth day of Dhul-Hijjah. You'll be at Muzdalifah till the next morning. The next morning is the 10th day of Dhul-Hijjah. So we have discussed Yawm Tarwiyah. We have also discussed Yawm Arafah. The next day is what? Yawm Nahri. Yawm Nahri. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, أعظم الأيام عند الله يوم النحر. أعظم الأيام عند الله يوم النحر. This hadith occurs in Sunan Abi Dawud. Don't go far, it's in Sunan Abi Dawud. It's a clear-cut text that the most significant day in the sight of Allah is يوم النحر. So when you wake up at Muzdalifah on Yawm al-Nahri, on this great day, Yawm al-Hajj al-Akbar, you are going to observe Salat al-Fajri. When you observe Salat al-Fajri, of course, along with Salat al-Fajri is Rakat al-Fajri. You observe Rakat al-Fajri, then you observe Salat al-Fajri, and then you wait a bit at Muzdalifah and make dua. One of the places where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood so long making dua was Muzdalifah. So make dua. And the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, waqaftuha huna wal muzdalifatu kulluha mawqifun. Waqaftuha huna, I have stayed here. Wal muzdalifatu kulluha mawqifun. As for Muzdalifah, every part of it is a place you can stay when you leave Arafah till the next morning. So at Fajr, you observe Salatul Fajr, you take some time, you make a lot of dua while facing the Qibla in the morning. Then you depart for Mina again on Yawm al-Nahri. Yawm al-Nahri is the day of Eid at home, but for the pilgrim, it is the busiest day for the pilgrim. For the pilgrim, it is the busiest day for the pilgrim. The pilgrim has 5 activities to observe on that day. Don't forget, we note the acts of worship for Hajj by noting the days, because every day has what you have to do. Yawm al-Tarwiyah, you leave Makkah for Mina, and you observe those prayers at Mina. you wait there till Yawm Arafah. On Yawm Arafah, the ninth day of the Hijjah, you go to Arafah from Mina. You wait in Arafah until Ghurub Shams. The next day, you move from, in that night at Ghurub Shams, you move to Muzdalifah. At Muzdalifah, the next day, you move from Muzdalifah to Mina on Yawm Nahri. On this day, Yawm Nahri, the 10th day of Dhul-Hijjah, there are five things the pilgrim will do. The first thing the Prophet did, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was to go to Al-Jamratul Aqaba in the Shajara. The Prophet went to the biggest of the pillars, and he stoned the pebbles, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He stoned the pebbles seven times. You pick the pebbles, pick it anywhere. Some pick it at Muzdalifah, some pick it. Just make sure you pick it before you get to where you will use the stones. And those stones should be chickpea size, chickpea, a bit bigger than our beans, just a bit bigger. Some people choose, select big boulders. No, this is from the aspects of al-gulu, extremism in the religion. The size of the pebbles to stone are just chickpea size, just a little bit bigger than the size of a bean seed. Just a bit bigger than the size of a bean, the bean seed, the beans, the seed of it. Just a bit bigger than it. That is the size of the pebbles that we pick. When we come to the Al-Jamara to Al-Kubra, the biggest pillar, we say Allahu Akbar. We hold the pebble in between our thumb and the first finger, between the thumb and the first finger. You place the pebble there. You say Allahu Akbar. You throw one, Allahu Akbar. You throw another one, Allahu Akbar. With ease. One of the things the Prophet did, alayhi salatu wasalam, as he left Arafah, regularly telling the people is that, Ayyuhannas, As-Sakina, As-Sakina. Take it easy, take it easy, take it easy. Because everybody is rushing to do five things at the same time. Everybody, if there are 6 million pilgrims, 5 million pilgrims, 4 million pilgrims, all of them want to do this thing. They are heading towards the same direction. So it's usually a very, very tough day, Yawm al-Nahri. May Allah make it easy for our pilgrims and all of us. So you go, you throw, the first job on Yawm al-Nahri is throwing the pebbles at al-Jamrat. You go, you throw the pebbles at the biggest pillar. That is where you go and throw the pebbles at the biggest pillar. You say Allahu Akbar as you throw them. Say Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar as you throw them. So that is the first thing you do. When you throw the stones, or just before you throw the stones, that's where your talbiyah ends. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. You have been saying since Yawm al-Tarwiyah. Where does it end? At Mina, when you want to throw the pebbles. Otherwise, at Arafah, at Muzdalifah, what will you be saying? Labbaik Allahumma. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. So you make رمي الجمرة. You stone the pebbles. When you stone the pebbles, everything in Ihram now becomes lawful for you. Once you stone, everything becomes lawful. So you can wear your clothes. You can go back to your clothes. You can shave your hair. You can cut your hair. You can cut your fingernails. You can make it mitzvah nikah. The only thing that becomes unlawful is al-jima. If you have your wife, you still cannot have conjugal relations with her. This, the ulama refer to it as at-tahallulul awwal, the first exiting from ihram. You exit from ihram of hajj in two stages. The first one, when you stone the pillar at al-jamrat, the biggest pillar, you have exited ihram. Partially, it is called partially exiting the ihram. The only thing that becomes still impermissible is what? Intercourse with our wives, for those who have wives with us. at Hajj. So the first thing you do on Yawm al-Nahr is what? Ar-Rami. The second thing the Prophet did, alayhi salatu wasalam, after he stoned the pebbles, he moved ahead and he slaughtered his ram. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam slaughtered 63 animals. Alayhi salatu wasalam. He brought from Medina 63 animals. Alayhi salatu wasalam. He slaughtered it with his hand. 63, 1, 2. These days, even rich people, once they buy the ticket for one ram, they think that it is sufficient. You can slaughter more than one for the sake of Allah. You are slaughtering it for Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam slaughtered with his own hand 63. And then he gave the rest. He gave the knife to Ali ibn Abi Talib and others too to slaughter. Ulama say this is evidence that slaughtering can be made on your behalf. The Prophet slaughtered 63. And for the rest of the animals, he gave it to Ali ibn Abi Talib to slaughter for him. These days, what we do, we don't slaughter the rams by ourselves. We buy the tickets for it. So that is the second thing on Yawm al-Nahri. The first thing on Yawm al-Nahri is what? To stone the pebbles at Al-Jamrat. The second thing is what? The slaughtering. The third thing is what? Al-Halq. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam shaved his head. He stoned, he slaughtered the animal, then he did what? Then he shaved his head. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. There are a lot of narrations regarding what happened as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shaving his head. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. Some companions kept his hairs. And that can only be done for the Prophet alone. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. As for women, Laysa ala nisa'i halkun innama ala nisa'a at-taqsir. The women should not shave their heads. What they should do is just to cut the hair short. Cut a small part of it. Gather the entire hairs and cut a small part of it, just as they did during the time of Umrah. So how many activities do we have on Yawm al-Nahr? The first one is what? Stoning at the Jamarat. The second one is what? Slaughtering the animal. The third one is what? Cutting the hairs. The fourth one is what? Making tawaf. So when you shave your hair, you move to Makkah now for tawaf al-ifadah. You go to Makkah just the way you made the tawaf during the time of Umrah. That is the same way you make the tawaf for Hajj. So you make the tawaf. You go around the Kaaba. Say Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. And here, there is no ramal. Likewise, there is no ittiba. Ittiba is exposing the right hand side. Ittiba is exposing the right shoulder. There is no ittiba for tawaf al-ifadah. The only time we must see your shoulder, or we should see your shoulder, is when you are making tawaf al-qudum, tawaf al-umrah. But as for Hajj, nobody is opening anywhere. So note this, when you see somebody exposing the right shoulders, it is because of lack of enlightenment. Enlighten such a person. Hey, cover your shoulders. Many rich men in Nigeria think that every time you are in ihram, you have to show your shoulders. They always think like that. It is from little enlightenment. So please enlighten people to remove that. They should remove their ihram from under the armpit and cover themselves up. In Hajj, there is no time you have to remove your ihram from anywhere by means of worship. So if you come to make tawaf al-ifadah, you don't need to remove your ihram from the upper part of your right shoulder. You go on and then there's no ramal. You just say Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and then you start the tawaf. Be sure not to become a burden or a means of inconvenience to any person. Be calm, be gentle. The Prophet was saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ayyuhan nas, as-sakina, as-sakina. Oh people, calmness, little by little. Dear, dear. Yalla, yalla, little by little, little by little. May Allah accept it from us all. So the first thing on Yawm al-Nahr is what? Stoning the pebbles at the biggest pillar. The second one is what? Slaughtering the animal. The third one is what? Al-Halq, shaving the head. The fourth one is what? At-Tawaf. When you finish the Tawaf, Then you go to Safa and Marwa. You go just the way you observed As-Sa'yu during Umrah. That is the same way you observe the Sa'yu during Hajj. So we have discussed Yawm Tarwiyah, we have discussed Yawm Arafah, and we have discussed Yawm Nahar. So Yawm Nahar is the 10th day of Dhul Hijjah. And this is the biggest day, Yawm Al-Hajj Al-Akbar, the biggest day of Hajj. أعظم الأيام عند الله, the biggest day in the sight of Allah. أعظم الأيام عند الله يوم النحر, the biggest day, the most significant day in the sight of Allah is that day. Those at home will be slaughtering the rams. Those at Hajj will be slaughtering the rams. Everybody will be shouting, لبيك اللهم لبيك. And those at home will be shouting and making adhkar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. All over the earth, slaughterings will be made for the sake of Allah. Adhkar's pronouncements will be made, glorifying Allah and praising Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a very, very big day for we, the Muslims. And then we are happy, we are celebrating, wearing fine clothes, and congratulating ourselves over these mercy of Allah on us. So we have the days left. After this tawaf and sa'yu, these are the five activities on Yawm al-Nahar. The pilgrim will return to Mina. The pilgrim will return to Mina to take his rest for the day. Now, he sleeps in Mina, observing his salah in Jama'ah with the rest of the people in their tents, in their camps, back in Mina. Now, it remains the 11th, 12th, and 13th day. The 11th day is what? Yawm al-Qarri. The day when all the pilgrims have qarar. Everybody rests. You are not going anywhere. No Makkah, no Mina, no Arafah. So it is called what? Yawm al-Qarri. That is the 11th day of Dhul-Hijjah. Everybody will be at Mina. You eat there, you drink there. You observe Salah at their times. After Salatul Zuhur, you stand up, you pick 21 pebbles, as we have described. Those pebbles are not big, no, they are small, just a little bit bigger than the size of a beans. Just a bit bigger than the size of beans, the chickpea size. You pick 21. You go to the Jamarat after Salatul Zuhur, Ba'd al-Zawal, after Zuhur. This is the correct time to do the stoning, Ba'd al-Zawal. So you go to the Jamarat, and then you start from the very first one, the smallest one. You stone, you throw the stone, saying what? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Gently and calmly, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. When you stone the first seven and the first one, you move forward a bit, and you make dua facing the Qibla. You make dua facing the Qibla. Then you move to the next one. You stone it again. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Seven times. You move forward. You make dua. You have stoned 14 now. Seven here. Seven there. Then you move forward. You make dua. Then you go to the third one. From where you had started the previous day. The third one. That is the one nearest to Makkah. You stone it again. Seven times. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. When you finish, there's no making dua here. So you return to your tent in Mina. That is the end of the activity for Yawm al-Qarri. You go back to your tent. You relax. Yawm al-Qarri is the 11th day of Dhul-Hijjah. On Yawm al-Nafr al-Awwal, the first day when you have a chance to end your Hajj, that is what? The 12th day of Dhul-Hijjah. That day is called what? Yawm al-Nafr al-Awwal. You do the same thing you did on Yawm al-Qarri, on 11th day. After Zawal al-Shams, after when the sun goes away from the horizon, that is the time of Dhuhr, you go to Jamarat again. You stone 777 as you did the previous day. If you like, you can end your Hajj here. Hajj has ended. Hajj has ended. And that's what Allah mentioned when He says, فَمَنْ تَعَجَّلَ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ Fala Ismaili, there's no blame if you want to quickly go back after 2 days. What are those 2 days? 11th and the 12th. So when you stone the 333, the three pillars, 777, you can go back to Makkah. You have ended your Hajj. Then Allah says, "Wa man ta'akhara." If you choose to also wait to the 13th day, on the 13th day, you do the same thing. So on 11th, 12th, 13th, on 11th, Yawmul Qarri, on the 12th, Yawmul Nafri Awwal, on the 13th, Yawmul Nafri Thani, the second day when we can proceed to end the Hajj. The same thing are the things we do. What are those? Ramyul Jimar, stoning the pillars, the smallest pillar, the mid pillar, and the biggest pillar. You stone 777. And each stoning, when you do it, you do what? You say what? Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. No Bismillah in it. It is just what? Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And be careful about the size of the stones. Stoning with something bigger than the legislated size is from the aspects of what? Al-ghulu. Extremism in the religion. So these are the things we do on the 6 days of Hajj. On Yawm al-Tarwiyah, on Yawm al-Arafah, on Yawm al-Nahri, on Yawm al-Qarri, Yawm al-Nafri al-Awwal, and then what? Yawm al-Nafri al-Thani. So you return to Makkah and you prepare to leave. You return to Makkah, you prepare to leave for the home. The ulama say one of the sunan of Hajj is that as soon as you finish the Hajj, go back home. And from the sunnah also is to go with the meat you have slaughtered. We encourage groups to make their pilgrims eat from their rams. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate from his own ram that he slaughtered. Please, I know one of the groups, they pay attention to this. They make sure they bring to you from your rams that you have slaughtered. They package it. In fact, if you don't open it, you can bring it back home for the people at home to eat from it. It was part of what the people used to do in the times of the companions and those who followed them. So when you finish, go back to Makkah and start preparing to leave for home. Don't forget. Let it be that when you are going to leave for your country, make a tawaf. And that tawaf is called what? Tawaful Wada. The tawaf of farewell, saying bye-bye to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for the sake of Allah, these are the rites of Hajj, as brief as the time that we have will permit. Maybe if there are areas requiring explanation, we can come back to that at question time, inshallah. Aba Yusuf.
Naam, ya Sheikhana. Jazakum Allahu khairan.
Ameen, ameen, one, two.
Please help us repeat the correct way of saying Talbiya. It's like I'm hearing you saying it, saying something different from what we used to know.
It's not different. It is the way you say it that is different. People used to say Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik la sharika laka Labbaik, Inna alhamda. This is where the issue is. Each of the expressions should start with Labbaik. Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaika la sharika lak, Labbaika innal hamda. You see it now. But people connect the Labbaika to la sharika lak because they are singing. Labbaika la sharika lak, Labbaik. No, it is Labbaika la sharika lak, Labbaika innal hamda wa ni'mata lak wal mulk la sharika lak. So the three expressions, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik la sharika lak, Labbaik innal hamda. It is not different. It is how you are reading it that is different. You are used to singing it, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik la sharika lak, Labbaik innal hamda wa ni'mata lak wal mulk la sharika lak. No, don't sing it. Say it. Express it. Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik la sharika lak, Labbaik innal hamda wa ni'mata lak wal mulk la sharika lak. every expression should start with labbaik. Once you get that right, you get the expression clear, inshallah. Abba Yusuf.
Now, jazakumullah khairan ya shaykhana. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. I can hear you. Go on.
Ma'am, what time do we start dua and zikri on the day of Arafah? Is it in the morning or after zuhr?
After salat. After your salat. You will observe salatul zuhur and salatul asri at the time of salatul zuhur. So after the salat, that is the time you start your dua. If you arrive earlier, just be sleeping and resting. Sleep, rest, make azkar, make tilawa of Quran. Don't forget that you are still within the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. You are still within the best days on the earth. So make use of the opportunity. Make azkar, make dua. But the actual time when being at Arafah commences, it is from after Salatul Zuhur. I hope that is clear.
Yeah.
Now,
is it permissible for women or men to fix godin or slipper tooth during Hajj, as it's common among Nigerians?
The person who is asking also know that it is not permissible. It is not from the sunnah. All these we describe that the Prophet did, alayhi salatu wasalam. Which of them did we find that he was fixing a teeth or fixing a nose or fixing an ear? These are from the things of show off and popularity seeking people make, especially the women. So it is not lawful to do that. And then it involves shaping the teeth, tafalluj, opening spaces for the silver or gold to get into the teeth. It involves it. So that makes it more prohibited, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited at tafalluj, opening the teeth. The man, the woman didn't have open teeth. They go to make opening the teeth. So creating openings and spaces in between the teeth is prohibited in Islam. So for the sake of Allah, there is no saying that the teeth of Makkah, it is teeth of deceit. So don't do it. If a person is sick, he is ill in his teeth and he requires a golden teeth to keep the teeth, this is allowed. The teeth is, he has problems on his gums. The only way to solve that problem is to tie the teeth with some golden holdings or something like that as a medical intervention for his aching teeth or paining teeth, or the teeth is absent. He wants to put all new teeth there. For medical reasons, this is lawful. We remember that companion, radiallahu anhu, who during a battle has one of his nose cut off. He was allowed to use a golden nose to replace the nose with a molded nose from gold. So that's allowed if it has to do with medical interventions. But just for the purposes of design, and we should be careful. May Allah protect us.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khairan shaykhana.
Ameen.
Can I send money to a pilgrim to slaughter a ram for me in Makkah?
Yes, you can. You can. You can send money to a pilgrim to slaughter a ram. You are not going, but you want the ram to be slaughtered for you. Yes. You can do that. And it will be slaughtered for you. The Arabs used to do it. In fact, they will just mark the animal and leave it with pilgrims. It will follow the pilgrims. And the pilgrims will go. Anybody who sees that ram will know that this ram belongs to Allah. Nobody will steal the ram, because they are afraid. The person has marked it. This ram belongs to Allah. Arabs used to fear those rams. Nobody will steal it. So on the day of slaughtering, people will see the ram and slaughter it. They know that it is for somebody. So we can do it. You can now assign someone, take this ram for me, slaughter it. So when they get to Makkah, they buy the ram. When they are buying their own rams, they buy for you and they slaughter for you. It is a sunnah that is almost even being forgotten. It's lawful, inshallah.
No, jazakumullah khairan shaykhana.
Ameen. Wonderful. Jazakumullah
khairan. I intend to go to Hajj and I have an online exam on the 12th or 13th of Dhul-Hijjah. Can I have the intention of writing an exam during the days of Hajj?
It is not wrong, inshallah. It is not wrong as long as it does not prevent you from any of the rites of Hajj. It is not wrong to write that exam, inshallah. It is lawful.
Naam, jazakumullah khairan.
Ameen.
Please, for someone that experiences itching on the chin if he doesn't shave after 3 days, what should he do?
It is not clear to me. What is the question?
Someone used to shave his beard, and he does that because he's having itching on his chin. What does he do?
He should stop shaving the beard. The reason why that skin is itching is that you are disturbing it with the blade. Go and look for people who keep their beard religiously. You see their chin is very fresh. Fresh. Why? They don't disturb that skin with the blade. The blade itself is unfriendly with that part of the skin. So leave your beard to grow, inshallah. Your bumps will go away. Just leave it. The oil in it. Put zaitun and other nice beard oils on it. Leave your beard to grow. Your chin will leave. Those goose pimples will not grow there again. If you now come to Hajj and you are shaving the beard again, then you are in trouble. That's a sin. That's a sin. Don't do it for the sake of Allah. Leave your beard to grow. Because sinning is already prohibited when you're in ihram. You now come and shave the beard again, which is an act of sin. So for the sake of Allah, leave the beard to grow. When you leave it to grow, the flesh on your cheek will be fresh, inshallah.
I mean. Can one pay the means Ramadan during the first 10 days or first 9 days of the Hijjah with the intention of having two rewards?
You don't even need to intend two rewards. Once you do it, you gain two rewards. Because repaying your Ramadan is a good deed. And you are observing that good deed in the first 10 days of Ramadan. Any good deed you observe in the first 10 days of Ramadan has a lot of rewards. So whether you intend it or not, we have that reward, inshallah. I hope that it is clear.
Naam, ya Shaykhana. Please, do the prohibition on perfumes include scented soaps and body creams?
Yes, don't use them during ihram. Don't use scented perfumes during ihram. Scented perfumes, don't use them. I hope that it is clear. Scent is perfume too. When you are in ihram, don't use perfume at all. It is before ihram, before you start your talbiyah, labbaik Allahumma umrah, or labbaik Allahumma hajjan. That is when you rub perfume on your body. But when you get into ihram, it is prohibited. And when you do it, you are due to slaughter ihram. You have violated one of the prohibitions of ihram. You have to atone for it. May Allah protect us. We have spent the time so much. But we can go and take in the questions.
No. So, does the normal Ankara or lace or ginning or wrapper that is free flowing and covering all necessary parts of the body suffice for solar, even if khimar is not on top of the Ankara or lace for a woman?
The lace has holes. So, leave lace aside. If you wear a lace as a woman, you must be wearing a full big jilbab covering it up. If you wear a lace, because laces have holes. If it is Ankara for Salat, if it is Ankara and you are tying the wrapper, it is covering you from up to down and all that, and you are in the privacy of your home, yes, you can. But when you come out, the Ankara clothes are usually designed clothes. They are ornamented clothes. So wear a jilbab to cover up that ornamented clothes. Where if you are outside the home, wear jilbab to cover that ornamented. or Kampala. No matter if you are in Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Shaykhana.
Yeah, sorry. I had gone out. I didn't know. I had to quickly come back again. Can we take two more questions then, Abu Yusuf?
No, even we missed the answer on the clothes. I mean, your answer on Ankara and Lace.
Okay, subhanallah. Taib, the Ankara and the Lace. As for the laces have holes in them. So women should not pray in laces without covering them up with jilbab. But if it is Ankara, the Ankaras are usually free and they sew it big with hijab, jilbab on it, covering everywhere except the face and their hands. It is lawful if they pray with this kind of a material inside their house. If you pray with Ankara, you tie the wrapper down. And then you know how those our mothers wear Ankara. The sleeve will be up to the wrist. The sleeve of the Ankara will be up to the wrist. The problem is when you tie that wrapper, it is going to expose the shape of a woman. When you tie the wrapper, it will expose the shape of a woman unless they are well loose. Loose very well. It has to be very, very loose, not to expose a woman's shape. If it does not expose her when she's standing, when she bends down, it's going to be a bit expository. So a better thing is to use the jilbab completely. Wear the Ankara, wear the jilbab on it. But if you have to now only wrap the clothes around yourself, as we do in our wrappers, make the wrappings to be loose and not tight on you. Then you can pray in them, inshallah. If it is a gown, better. You can pray in Ankara inside your house. But if you go outside the house, you want to pray with Ankara. In fact, going outside the house with Ankara is going outside the house with a cloth that is designed and ornamented. And that is prohibited for a woman to expose her ornaments. Because Allah says, "Wala yubdina zinatahunna." Women should not expose their ornaments. So the Ankara itself is clearly ornamented, well designed, well colored, well this, well that. So cover it all up with a jilbab if you are going out of the house. But if you are inside the house, you can pray with it as you have described. I hope that this response is clear, Abba Yusuf.
No, I second. Jazakum Allah khairan.
Ameen.
Can someone make Hajj on behalf of his late parents? If yes, will it be separate Hajj for each of the parents, or one can be done in the name of both parents?
No. The first thing about making Hajj on behalf of our parents is to have made your own. Have you made Hajj you yourself? If you have made Hajj you yourself, you can now make Hajj on behalf of your father and then another Hajj on behalf of your mother. But you must have first made the Hajj. So make the Hajj for yourself first. Then you can come back on another year to make the Hajj for your daddy or your mommy. You start with your mommy and then your daddy. So you can make the Hajj in proxy for them in different years. Making three Hajj that you have to make. One for yourself, one for your father, and then another one for your mother. I hope that it is clear.
Please, can someone who is trying to conceive ask someone in Hajj to make dua for her?
Yes, it is lawful. We are coming back to that hadith in Al-Adabul Mufrad. The companions and the isnad is sahih. The companions is to ask themselves to make dua for them. Please, my brother, if you go for Hajj, make dua for me. If you go for Hajj, make dua for me. The companions is to do it. The hadith is in our book, Al-Adabul Mufrad. We are coming back to it, inshallah. And that hadith is sahih. So the companions used to ask their brothers to make dua for them. In fact, it is one of the best forms of dua. When you make dua for your brother, he is not present. You know that he needs a car. You are begging Allah to provide him a car. Don't forget that Allah has an angel who will be saying to you, and you get the type, and you too. Allah appoints an angel when you pray for your brother behind him. Allah appoints an angel to say Ameen to you and then tell you, you too, you will get that. I know a brother when he wants something. He will be looking for a Muslim who wants that thing, any of his friends. He will now be praying for that friend because he knows that when he's praying for that friend, he too will get it. He will get it from the dua of an angel for him. So it is lawful when we go for Hajj, we pray for ourselves, pray for our brothers, pray for our relatives. When we now have a request, my brother, please help me, pray for me. Inshallah, we should pray for those persons. The early Muslims used to do it. And it is lawful, inshallah, Abba Yusuf. Abba Yusuf, can you hear me? Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. I think we can call it a day here today, Abba Yusuf. We'll continue in class, inshallah, on Saturday in the coming week. Bismillah. We'll continue regarding the rights, inshallah, in the coming week. If there are questions on Hajj, and I'm sure many of our brothers are on Hajj. This is the essence of talking about Hajj and encouraging the people to perform. You see many brothers now at Hajj. You see many brothers now at Umrah. The people who would have been using the money to travel to US, travel to France, travel to Australia in holidays, most of them now come for Hajj and Umrah, and this is good for us. Wallahi, it is very, very good. Instead of going to US, UK, sit down there 2 weeks with kuffar, you come back to Hajj in reverence for Allah, in worship for Him. That is better. If people want to say that people should be donating money, they should tell those people who are traveling to UK and US on holidays every month to bring the money to donate to them to be sharing amongst the poor people. But for you, if Allah makes Hajj and Umrah easy for you, go for the Hajj, go for the Umrah. May Allah make things easy for us. May Allah accept our acts of worship. May Allah forgive all of us. Our shortcomings, may Allah forgive us. Our shortcomings, may Allah forgive us. Our shortcomings, may Allah forgive us. May Allah make us face all these acts of worship with pure intentions. Not to seek popularity, nor to seek show off. May Allah cleanse our hearts. He is the master and the controller of our hearts. May Allah protect us against shaitan, both from the human beings and from the jinns, ourselves, our children, our wives, our children, our relatives, our parents. May Allah protect us from the evil plots of shaitan. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.